would read along with me as I read Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through the end of the chapter. We're going to be looking at verse 21 in specific and summing up what we've looked at in winning over the wrong. Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Amen. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Amen. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Lord, we're asking that you would flip a light switch on. Help me to effectively convey to my friends here who have struggles just like I do how we can again win over the wrong. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reminded of not very long ago, a young man came to me and said, Aaron, I am really struggling. My girlfriend and I have messed up sexually with each other, and my mind is an absolute mess morally. I feel like I've tried to change, and I've tried to change, and I've tried to change, and there is no changing for me, and I do not know what to do. Is there any victory for me? Reminded of not long ago, and also a young lady talked to me and said, Aaron, my home is an absolute war zone. We come across to everyone else like everything is fine when we're at church, but behind the four walls of our household, our home is an absolute mess. And I don't know, is there any help for our family? In this past year, as you look over your own life, which of these two would describe you more? A conqueror or conquered? Dynamic or defeated? A one who is a victor or a victim, victorious or vanquished, a winner in all of the struggles that come your way in life, or a wimp in the midst of the discouragements. Do you even question, perhaps, is there any victory for me? Aaron, again, you don't know what's happened to me in my past. Perhaps the abuse that you have had, the verbal abuse, the mental abuse, perhaps with some physical, heaven forbid, but with some I know in this room, sexual abuse. How are you doing in overcoming those things? Are you overcoming? Are you winning? Or do you find that in your mind and in your life, in certain areas, you're wimping out? There is victory. Do you question whether there is? I hope not. God says in verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I want us to see three simple things as we sum up verses 14 to 21. We are, number one, at war. We are at war. The word overcome there is a military term, and it means to conquer. And believe it or not, whether you like it or not, or like to think about it or not, we are in a spiritual warfare. And let's discuss the character of this evil. In the context, the character of this evil that is here is when evil is done to us, I don't want to be overwhelmed by it, so much so that I just give up in the battle. That happens sometimes, right? There are two kinds of people, basically, whenever circumstances take place, those that get passive and those that get aggressive. Those that sometimes want to get passive just crumble under, get depressed, get in a bunch of self-pity and have the poor me's and just let it overwhelm them. But not only must it not overwhelm me, I must not, secondly, in my responses, be aggressive in wanting to lop other people's heads off. God doesn't call us to that either. In other words, basically what God can be saying is, it's not just the evil around you or that has happened to you or that is presently happening to you that's bad. Don't let the evil that can come out of us to those other people happen either. In other words, don't allow yourself to retaliate. Someone sent me this via email, a good friend. I'll repeat it twice. He that cannot quietly bear an injury is perfectly conquered by it. I'll read it again. That's a good statement. He that cannot quietly bear an injury is perfectly conquered by it. Friends, we are at war. It is a warfare. All of life is a warfare. It is a struggle. The first thing I do every day, I don't want to do, and that's get up out of bed. Maybe you're the same way. And it is a fight from beginning to finish. It's a fight for me to control my mind, to be thinking nice, good, right, good, pleasant thoughts about other people instead of wanting to lop some people's heads off. It's imperative for me to be thinking right thoughts about my own self and not the negative. For me to be thinking right about God, that God still is good even though it seems like today's a bad day. God is still good. So, friends, how are we? Are you overwhelmed by it and getting passive, or are you aggressive and wanting to give back? God says don't retaliate. And it's also dealing with evil of every kind. Evil wins, friends. Evil wins when we give it back. It does. We're in a warfare. But that's the character of this evil. But we all have a choice for this evil. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and something else. In James chapter 4, verse 4, James says, know you not, don't you know, I can hear an Irishman say, don't you know that friendship with the world is intense strife, enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. What is your choice in the game and the fights of life? Are you choosing the evil and to participate in the evil and let evil come out of your mouth and evil out of your life and evil in your thoughts? I know it's difficult, right? But God says we can win. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We are in a warfare. The character of evil, the choice of evil, and the captain of evil. I think you know ultimately who the captain of evil is. He's the devil, and he's real. And the Bible says to every Christian in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, be alive, alert, awake, because the devil is real, and he is as a roaring lion stalking about in the low grass, seeking whom he may devour. Dear friends, Satan and his minions wants to get you and to use our own sinful responses back to other people to trap us and the casualties of evil. There are many people in the Bible and many people in life who were very strong people, but they went down. The Bible says in, 2 Samuel chapter 1, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? Saul was a great guy in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, he was head and shoulders above the rest, and all of the people unanimously picked him to be the king. He looked bigger, taller, stronger than everyone around him, and he had some good characteristics about him. But when he tried to do the priest's job, God says, you're out. And that led to a downward spiral in the rest of his life. David was the exact same way. When he was a teenager, young people, when he was 17 years of age, he could take down 10-foot giants, and he had a heart of gold. But you add 30 years onto that when he's 47 and he is taking down other things and it's not good in his life. Dear friends, what I'm saying, there are casualties. Many strong people have fallen. And if they can, we can too. We are at war. Second point, not only are we at war, we have weapons though. That's a great thing. And these weapons are powerful through God. I would love to say one of the most powerful weapons we have, and the other weapons are displayed to us, revealed in this book here. Are you using this book? This book tells us about the Holy Spirit. This book tells us about our great God. This book tells us about salvation. This book gives us promises. This book tells us about ourselves. This book tells us about the world around us. This is a major, powerful weapon. It says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you feel like you have a stronghold in your life? This book can be used by God to help pull down some of those things that entraps some of us. But it also says in Hebrews 4:12, it says that the word of God is quick, it's alive, and it's powerful. That Greek word for power there is energeo. We get our English word energy. This book is energetic in its power that it can give to our lives. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Dear friends, we've got a big warfare, and Satan and our own flesh and the things that have happened around us and to us are big. But they are pop guns in comparison to God's atomic bomb. They really are. God has atomic bomb answers for all of the injuries that have come toward us. Not only are these weapons powerful, but they're also provided by God. We're able to use them. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue." What that verse is basically saying is this: the barn is stored full. We mentioned this back in 2 Peter. The barn is stored full. God has filled that thing full of the equipment. He's given us the seed. He's given us the fertilizer. He's made sure the equipment is all up and running and there's gas in the tanks. But he's not going to go out and plow the field. We've got to do that. Are we using the things that God has provided for us? Thirdly and lastly, we're at war and we have weapons. But here's the best point. You know what the next W is? We are at war and we have weapons and we can win. We can by God's grace. He says right there, "Be not overcome of evil," but you can win and overcome evil with good. In the Greek, which I'm not the greatest Greek scholar, but basically what it's saying there, it is literally stop being overcome by evil. It's in the process right now. We all have temptations to let it overcome us, to let venom spew out of our mouth. Stop, let it happening. Stop having the wicked thoughts. Stop yielding to the peer pressure, young people. Stop giving in. You can win, and we must win. God promises victory for us throughout his word. I love the promises. We did about a year and a half study on Wednesday nights on the promises of God. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, thy strong one. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." In Romans chapter 16, verse 20, I like this concerning the warfare. It says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." Ha, that's good. Dear friend, we are promised victory, but God produces the victory. This is a point I'm going to camp on for just a little bit. It's God who produces the victory. Overcome evil with good. This book tells us what the good is. And I am to overcome, and you are to overcome evil with good. In other words, friends, the evil that's happened to us or is happening to us around us from our past that we're dealing with, it's bad. And there's only one thing that can conquer it. Only one thing. Only one. Only one thing can help you in your household. Only one thing can help you with your marriage. Only one thing can help you as you deal with your parents, who you can never do anything right, it seems, in their eyes. Only one thing, and that is goodness. Do not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. It's the most effective way to subdue the enemies. And men who, in the midst of a situation, when evil is doled out and they rebel and they want to give evil back, really don't get a grasp of this and haven't been conquered in their mind. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48, Brother Mario read it to our attention last week, and it really mirrors what Brother Kelly read today. Jesus said in that great passage, "When wrong happens, still do right. Two wrongs will not make the right." In the midst of a fight in the household, look, you, with your venom spewing out, you're not going to be able to change those other people, right? Because when venom is spewed out on you, what happens to you? The hair goes up on the back of your neck, you entrench your heels in, and you're ready for a fight. And if you give it back to them, I mean, what do you think they're going to do? Of course they're going to do the exact same thing. Dear friends, we cannot be resorting to this. Joseph epitomizes this passage of giving goodness. He epitomizes, stop trying to get even. Use the weapons of forgiveness, the good weapons of forgiveness and love mentioned in this book here. And Joseph had a terrible background. A lot of you know exactly what I'm getting ready to say. For those of you who don't, I'll give it to you. Joseph was from a dysfunctional family. Many people say, well, I was from a dysfunctional family, and that's why I act the way I do. Let me tell you about Joseph's family. His dad was a liar, a cheater, a shyster, a manipulator, a master at it. His real mom worshipped idols and was dead, and she was a lot like her husband. He had three bickering stepmoms. His oldest brother, Reuben, committed incest with one of his stepmoms. Simeon and Levi killed a whole city of men. You can read about it. And Judah, his fourth oldest brother, committed incest with Judah's own daughter-in-law. And his oldest sister, Dinah, was raped. Now, friend, you talk about a dysfunctional family, that's a dysfunctional family, right? And what's more, all of Joseph's brothers hated his guts. And you know what they did? They put him in a pit and then sold him into slavery. And they all had the agreement, we are going to do this and we're going to lie to Dad and we're going to cover this up to get rid of this guy. How did Joseph respond? Joseph responded when he's sold into Potiphar's house, and even when he's tempted, he still wants to put God first and his own desires second, and he's put into prison. And even in the midst of prison, when he's wronged in prison by the butler and the baker, when they don't remember him, he's eventually brought out. Dear friends, because of love and forgiveness, those good weapons, his brothers eventually bowed the knee in front of him someday. Joseph epitomizes this. So the weapon of goodness, forgiveness and love, and also, if I can explain it this way, the goodness ultimately is God himself. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There is none good, Jesus said, but God. Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. All goodness that we can ever practice, all the goodness in this book comes from one great good author. And we are to use him as a weapon. We are to use him and our relationship with him in order to conquer. So the good is not an it. It is a he. And this good ultimately is found in knowing Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages, the paycheck for doing sin is eternal death. But there's a gift from God, and it's a good gift, and it's free. It's not like a paycheck. The paycheck of sin, I earned it. But there's a free gift from God, and it's eternal life, the opposite of eternal death. And it's found only in knowing Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ suffered and died for us in our place. And our lives should be molded by the example of Jesus. In the last hours, earthly hours of his life, in John 16, 33, he said to his disciples, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Now, expect it. Now, that speaks to me. I'm getting off my notes here on this. That speaks to me because sometimes I don't expect evil. I expect life to go hunky-dory. I expect everything to be smooth sailing. I expect there to be rose petals scattered everywhere, and I can walk in the brilliant sunlight and smelling the beautiful flowers, and I can hardly have to extend any effort and energy. It's all going to go my way, and everything's going to be great. No, Jesus didn't say it was going to be that way. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Exact same word as what's there. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So friends, we must live on a higher level. Anyone can give back evil for evil. Anyone can do that. It takes someone who's walking with God to give back good for the evil. The only way to overcome evil, the evil of your past, what's happened to you, is to give good back and to do the good. Don't add fuel to the fire. Don't start cussing them out if they're cussing you out. Don't start doing that. That is adding fuel to the fire. That doesn't solve anything except burn the entire house down, or a marriage, or a relationship. Don't do that. What we should be doing is giving out the good. You say, well, it hasn't done any good. Well, Okay, maybe they're not converted to Christianity yet. You can't say that they won't ever be, but they've experienced the love of God through your life, and you've grown closer to Jesus by practicing what he says just a little bit more. Romans 8:37, the good is God, and I'm to use God and his goodness with others. It says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Using God, Jesus Christ, as a weapon, we are more than conquerors. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, I don't know how to put it any better than this, than to just put it out here like this. You're going to have to decide whether you want the devil to stay around or not. Do you want the devil to stay around? You say the devil is around. I live with her. No, the devil is around. I live with him. I've got three little ones in my household. I don't know what you're thinking. The devil is around. No, friends, I'm not talking about the devil being in someone else. I'm talking about the devil using you. If we resist the devil, he will flee from us. It says that in James 4, and that's a promise from God. So you're going to have to decide. It's your choice. It's our choice. Do you want the devil to stay around or not? How do you overcome the wrong of the past? Let's review just very briefly a conclusion, and then we'll wrap it up. First, we've got to ask ourselves, who are the people who are bothering me that keep coming back in my mind that have been bothering me? Is it your father of the past? Maybe it's even someone that's dead. Maybe it's your mom of the past. Is it another Christian? Is it maybe someone in here, someone who used to go here, someone in another state? Is it an unbeliever? Is it an enemy? Is it a family member? Is it a neighbor? Is it a business associate? Is it a fellow coworker? Who is the one that's constantly like a Brillo pad personality grating to you? Who is it? Second, ask yourself, now how have you responded to them? I'm not asking right now what they did. And I'm not asking if what you did is really, I'm sure, what you did is infinitesimally smaller back to them than what they did to you. There's no question about that. But what I'm asking is, I'm asking, how have you responded back to them? Now be candid. We can't gloss over this fact, right? Pray for wisdom as you think about this. Thirdly, if you've done any wrong, ask forgiveness from God and ask forgiveness even from them. Fourthly, plan on practicing what we've studied. Amen. What are they? How do we win? What is God's way of winning over the wrong in our life from our past to our present so that we can have a successful future? Seven things. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Master your mouth. And if you're going to master your mouth, you're going to have to master your mind and your motives. Number three is found in verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Minister to them in sympathy, verse 15, and in harmonizing humility. God's going to orchestrate it that they're going to have tough times. Be there and help them. Send a card when a loved one of theirs dies. If they're getting married or if they're having a celebration, send a card of a birthday celebration. Minister in harmonizing, in sympathy and harmonizing humility. Number four is found in verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil, but provide things honest in the sight of all men. The word provide there means to plan ahead of time. Map out your actions. Make plans, specific plans. And by the way, don't put that off. Don't put off planning what you're going to do. Not to them. Don't put off planning what you're going to do for them. We better get at that. Provide things. Plan ahead. And then also, number five, verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Make peace. Number six, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Make room for God. He is going to get even in his way and in his time, and it will be thorough, far more thorough than what ours could ever be. And number seven, meet his needs, verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Those are some of the most basic needs a person could have. But what other needs does your particular individual have? meet those needs, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Write out what you're going to do to meet your personal enemy's needs. Study their needs. Study your own particular resources, what you have that you can give to actually help. Don't put this off either. Get at it. And by the way, it's heaping. Heaping good on them. You've got to be more than adequate in heaping good back on them. And by the way, in the midst of this, if you were to go back and review the series, you'll understand none of this is being a walking mat. Some of the situations you need to call the law in if it's against the law. In some of the situations there needs to be, in many of them, there needs to be a confrontation. Loving, gentle, kind confrontation, but trying to discuss things in solving the problem that way as well. Win the man over by heaping good on them. Plan in detail and carry out your plan. Pray that God will help you and the individual. And my prayer for you is, may God bless you and your enemy through you. I think, by way of illustration, in conclusion, I think of a man by the name of David Ring who has cerebral palsy. Some of you have perhaps heard him preach before. You've seen him on the television. A great, great guy. I'll never forget the first time I heard him preach. Has difficulty getting up there, and with his body racked and muscles contorting, and I'm not trying to make fun of him or anyone else with cerebral palsy. But as he got up, the first words he spoke out of his mouth, "My name, David Ring. I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem?" And then he said, "I have cerebral palsy, but cerebral palsy does not have me." And of course, after that, my eyes are just filled with tears, and I just melt like melted butter there. And the whole message is on, basically. And he's not bragging his own self. He has difficulty shaving. He has difficulty getting out of bed. I mean, can you think of what it would be like to change the clothes? His wife ministers to him. He is an evangelist, a full-time evangelist that travels from church to church, like Will Galkin, across this nation. Can you imagine how difficult that is? That's difficult for Will and his wife and that whole team, let alone for a guy with cerebral palsy. But he does that, and God enables him. He has cerebral palsy, but cerebral palsy does not have him. My question is, what has you? It doesn't need to have you. Whatever it is. And I don't think there's anyone here who has that deformative of cerebral palsy. I'm looking out here. Some of you may question my mental state sometimes, whether I'm handicapped or not, but there's not a one of us here who is handicapped that way. What has you? It doesn't have to have you. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So, are you a conqueror or are you conquered? Are you dynamic or are you defeated? Are you a victor or are you a victim? Are you victorious or are you vanquished? Are you a winner or a wimp? It is your choice. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, I pray for my friends here that you would help us and help me. Lord, you know how there are times every day, I don't win this battle. But then there are times that we do win, where I'm with you. But then there are times I lose. And I give in, and I'm not thinking right again. Lord, I pray that you would help my friends here and me to be thinking rightly, to use the weapons in the war that we're in and help us, God, to win. You are the good. Help us in that relationship with you to win. Lord, I pray for maybe one here today or some who really don't know if they are right with you. They don't really know. Maybe there are some here who, if they were to go out into eternity today, they're not sure that heaven would be their home. They have some questions about that. Lord, I pray that today would be a day you'd use me or some other people here to answer their questions. May they come and ask those questions. I was there for 9 years, struggling and wondering, till finally I put away my stubbornness of wanting to struggle. Lord, you know, and you gave me assurance by having someone help me with your word. Lord, I pray that everyone here who would leave would know for sure that all of their sins are completely forgiven and right with you, and heaven is their home. But Lord, I also pray for some of my friends here who have struggled with something from their past or their present, and it's a tough battle. And these little things may sound to them like I'm glossing over some of their situation. Some of it needs to be applied specifically to their situation. Lord, maybe some of my friends need some specific help, specific counsel or advice concerning their particular situation. I pray that you'd help them to get that. But Lord, also, I pray that you'd help us to see there's victory in our path if we'll take it. And it's our choice. God, help us to see that with our heads bowed and our eyes still closed. I wonder if there'd be some folks here who would say, Aaron, I am not really sure if heaven is my home. With our heads bowed and eyes still closed, no one's looking around. I am not going to treat you any differently. I'm not going to take your name down. I'm not going to give your name to anyone else. I wouldn't do that. That's unethical. But just between you and God, is there anyone here who would say, Aaron, I'm not really sure that if it were time for me to die, all of my sins are forgiven. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that God would welcome me with no caveats, no little provisos into heaven. I'm not really sure that heaven's my home. Anonymously between you and God. Is there anyone here who would say, Aaron, would you pray for me anonymously so that I can get this problem sometime in the future settled? Would you just pray for me, Aaron? Anyone here like that? Just raise your hand. Anyone right now? Okay, thank you. I see those. Anyone else say, Aaron, I'm just really not sure. Thank you. I see that hand. You may put it down. Anyone else? Okay, with our heads bowed and eyes still closed, many of us here claim to know Jesus Christ. That's great. How are you doing at winning? How many would say, Aaron, I'm struggling with winning. I haven't been winning. It's up and down for me. Would you pray for me anonymously? Help me that God would help me that I win in the battles of life. Anyone here like that, just raise your hand. Thank you. Many, many hands. Thank you. May put them down. And lastly, how many of you would say, Aaron, I'm sick and tired of losing. And I'm so sick and tired of losing that God helping me, I want to listen to what the Bible says, which means you need to review some of these, or you may need to seek counsel or advice from someone. But I'm willing to listen, and I'm willing to learn, and God helping me by his grace and power. God helping me. I'm not promising God, but God helping me. Today, I want it to be a new day. I want to start winning today and overcome. Is there anyone here like that who would say that with an uplifted hand? Thank you. I see those hands. Lord, my friends have not done this for me. They've raised their hands for you, and it's you working in their own heart and mind. Lord, I pray for those who raise their hands, not sure that heaven is their home, that they would find out today. May they come and ask, investigate. And Lord, for my friends who have made the decision, you helping them, they want to be a winner and start learning, listening, and trying to put into action these things. Help them to do so. They may need someone to pray with them today. To come forward, they may need to stop and just pray when we sing in a bit, to just pray at their seat. But Lord, I pray for my friends, some who are struggling, help them to win. My other friends here who have said they're sick and tired of losing, they want to start doing something about it. Help them to start winning, God, I pray. Bless in this time of decision that we have here now. We pray in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed.